Hola, y gracias por volar en la aerolínea aérea de Phil Henry. Estaremos volando a una altitud de 30,000 pies. Oh, y también Green Card. El vuelo de esta noche estaremos presentando diarrea. Y también debo mencionar Taco Bell Chihuahua. Y ahora, aquí está Phil.
Okay, who thinks those have gotten old already? Hey!
Man.
Well, they were a good idea. We were sitting around thinking, well, how do you want to come? Like I say, I hate bumper music. I can't stand it. I can't. Oh, man, I hate it. You know what bumper music is? That's what you have when you got no show. A lot of these, by the way, this is the Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. A lot of these guys, I don't want to mention any names, because that's not really my thing, but a lot of people, they throw that jazzed out, that real, the heaviosity is way out there, baby, with that bumper music, and they got no freaking show, you know? So they're cranking with some of that stuff. Toss me some of that, give me some of that metal bumper music we got, Mike. And, you know, you hear something along the lines of this.
And now, Spooge Jackson.
Yeah, everybody, this is Spooge Jackson. We've got it going on. Call the show, and we're going to talk about, boy, that governor's race in New York.
Yes, Spooge Jackson, kicking out the jams. The paint's coming off the walls. Give him a call. He kicks ass.
Hi, I'm Spooge Jackson.
You know what I'm saying? In other words, this guy comes on like he's been gelded with a coffee table. And he's got that white zombie crap.
In a moment, our community forum, what do you think about that bond issue for the sewer system going in?
I mean, in other words, that's why we don't like it. So what we thought we would do is put together these bumpers with the stewardess, and we've got about six of them, and already they're just wearing a little thin. However, we're going to beat them right into the ground until we change them. So thank you very much for that. How many we got there, Mike? Probably about six or seven. We've pounded them into the dirt with the Ola and the diarrhea and everything. And by the way, we're putting up a new website, philhenryshow.com, and on it is my face and then all of these little slogans like diarrhea and white zombie. And I said, I don't know. But they're working hard on that. The same lady who's doing my website does Dr. Laura's. So I'm kidding around, Laura. I'm sure it's going to be real good. That'll be great.
And now, the Dr. Laura Show.
Sally, you're on the air.
So, you know how she has those songs that are like relationship songs?
Hi, Dr. Laura. My husband ties me up, and this is generally with fan belts, and obviously it's his fault. Yeah.
All right, so I'm thinking that we mentioned at the outset of the show this raccoon problem we have at our house. Now, I know many of you live in the wilds, some of you live in the woods, the wooded areas. So as cities, you know, push out, we're all living out in the wooded areas, right? No matter what city you live in, as it gets larger, and all of them are, no matter how big, they're all getting bigger. And you push out, and the next thing you know, you're out in the middle of, it's like Ramar of the jungle. What am I doing out here? Where I live 40 miles outside of Los Angeles. I live in a little town called Westlake Village. And it's a little village, but it's way out in what I guess in some cities they call it second and third ring suburb. This is like a third ring suburb of Los Angeles. It's way out there, baby. Because it originally, as L.A. was constructed, we had the valley, and then they went out to Woodland Hills, and then you kind of go further into Orange County, and now I'm out where there's deer. There's deer walking down the street. And, you know, it takes a lot for a man not to want to pick up a .22 and something like that. I'm kidding. But, you see the beautiful deer. And then I walk out there, and I go, and the thing dumps a load on the street, scared to death, kills both of its little does, and it runs off. There's Henry scratching himself. Hey, look at that, honey. There's a deer. And the deer just dies of a freaking heart attack. Do you know that in some states, by the way, this is the truth. In some states, it is legal to shoot a dog that's chasing a deer. In other words, to protect the wildlife, they have made it legal in some states. If you see a dog chasing a deer, you can come out with your gun and you can blow that dog away. Huh? Well, who's going to do that is right. You want to see the dog eat the deer before I'm going to kill a good dog. Eat the freaking deer. Well, we're kidding by that. Well, maybe. I don't know. Have you ever had venison sausage? It's out of sight, I got to tell you. No, I love deer, but, you know, up to a point. So anyway, what you do is you go dog hunting, and you get yourself a deer. You get a stuffed deer on roller skates, and you pull it down a street. And as you're pulling the stuffed deer down the roller skate, down the stuffed deer on the roller skates down the street, the dog takes off, and you're popping dogs all day. And it's a great sport, so you ought to try it in your neighborhood. But seriously, it is, it's legal. So we got this raccoon thing going on our back deck. I got to tell you something about decks. I like cement. I'd like a pool. I ain't got one. Love to have a pool, man. I like grass. I like to have a patio, but there's something about a wood deck that just bothers me. Oh, man, does it bother me. It's wooden, it's elevated, it creaks. It's what's the point, okay? And a lot of people have these deck warming parties. I know a guy, man, he loves his deck. He had a big deck warming party. He put this thing, it was illegal as hell. He didn't get any permits. He told the city to shine it on. He told them to shove it six ways to sunset. He put that deck up, and they had a big deck warming party. Next thing you know, here comes the fire department with chainsaws. Gotta come down, Bob. Didn't get any permits. We got this wooden deck, and these raccoons are coming around. So as I said at the outset of the show, I said to my wife this morning, you know, I'm getting sick of that. I don't want to see them because they could be rabid. It very seriously could be a health hazard. It could hurt the kids. The kids go prancing out there some night at 1 o'clock, as they're prone to do. And they get, eaten by a damn raccoon. That's not cool. So I said, I'm going to go get myself a 22, and I'm going to start shooting me raccoons unless somebody around here does something about it. And that's when the kids got in with this laser-sighted BB gun stuff. And they've got a laser-sighted loaded shotgun BB gun. And they have got every kind of weapon known to mortal man on this planet that kids can mess around with and go out there and blow away. And, of course, I said to Alex, who's the 10-year-old, I said, what are you, a BB gun going to kill a raccoon? Oh, yeah, sure. I seen it on Wild Wild West. What are you talking about, man? No, yeah, it'll do it. So now the kids want me to go get a BB gun and start popping raccoons. I put a BB in a raccoon. All that's going to do, the raccoon. You ever heard a guy say they're going to take the gun away from you? The wrong guy? Raccoon's going to take the gun away from me. I pop a raccoon with a BB gun. He's going to take that BB gun and he's going to bury it. Up me. Here's Temecula on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
I'm from one of those states where you can go ahead and you can shoot a dog that's chasing a deer.
Really? Have you ever tried that dog hunting with a stuffed deer?
Hey, you know, it's one of those things that a lot of people probably disagree with. California is one of the states where we find a lot of people disagree with it. But it's a good thing to be able to pull out a gun and shoot a dog that's chasing a deer. It's it's a domestic animal chasing a wild animal.
Yeah. What about it?
I mean, do you disagree with me
you got a perfectly good dog? A perfectly good domesticated animal?
What is a perfectly good dog, Phil? There's
a perfectly good dog.
I mean, I own a dog. Would I take him out and shoot him? No. Well, I mean, if he was chasing
a deer, you would. You'd shoot your own dog. You'd shoot fluffers there, man, if he was chasing a deer. Now, he's just doing what comes natural.
What? Yeah,
you know what they ought to do is shoot dogs that are chasing a mail truck. Now there you go. Ice cream truck. Huh?
First of all, there's no such thing as a perfectly good dog.
No, what I'm saying is
a dog, it's not, good, it's not bad, it's just a dog. You know, but if you got a law that says you can shoot a dog chasing a deer, and a deer is obviously a perfectly good deer because it's protected by law, then of course you can shoot a dog, which is neither good nor bad.
Well, I don't know where you stand on it. I don't know what you just said, but I'm saying that here's an animal that's domesticated. It's an animal that you love. You've invested time and emotion in. You got a deer that is obviously in an area that is inhabited by people. I'm not into killing deer. I think they're lovely creatures. But as I say, mankind wins out, man. We're pushing out. The suburbs are getting bigger. We got to find some place to live. And if my dog's chasing that deer, it's call of the wild, ain't it, baby? It's the survival of the fittest.
What kind of dog do you have, Phil?
I ain't got a dog.
You don't have a dog. You said, what if your dog's chasing a deer? Now, you're telling me you don't have a dog and you care whether I shoot a dog or not?
Yeah.
Let me put it this
way. I can't have a dog.
And if my dog's chasing a deer...
I got a cat.
No, I'm not going to kill him. First of all, he's not going to be chasing a deer. But let's say he was chasing a deer and somebody else shot him. Now, should I be mad about that?
Yeah.
No, I shouldn't be mad about that.
You should be.
Not in a state where it's legal and where it makes sense.
You should be irate. You should be irate. You got to go next door and shoot that guy to shoot. And I'm just kidding. You shouldn't shoot the guy to shot your dog. But you don't want anybody shooting your dog. It's a perfectly good dog.
I don't want anybody shooting my dog. My dog's in my yard. But what I'm saying is if my dog is loose, that is loose on public land, where it's the wilderness. Yeah, man, that dog's out there wreaking havoc. I should pay the price for that. I'm the guy that basically is causing a situation that's ruining a wild environment.
What? What are you talking about?
You're out walking on a trail.
Yeah.
You see a deer.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, that's a beautiful deer. Look, honey, let's get a picture of that. And holy crap, here comes, here comes my Springer Spaniel.
How come your dog isn't on a leash?
Exactly.
Well, it's supposed to be on a
leash.
Your dog's supposed to be on a leash.
No, not in Colorado. Not like California, where you got laws saying, you know, every damn thing you own has got to be on a leash.
You got to put a dog on a leash in Colorado.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do. Look it up.
Look it up at where?
What if your dog was chasing Robert Redford at that Sundance Film Festival, man? That'd be all right, thanks for your call, sir.
Okay.
Phil Henry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. Show at 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. So what about that BB gun with the raccoon, huh? Mike Schaefer, who produces our show, and he had almost as bad an upbringing as our engineer Mike Crozier. Although Mike was sleeping on a... Mike was sleeping in a garage. Oh, I'm not supposed to talk about this? Poor old Mike sleeping in a freaking garage when he was like 10. Nice guy, Mike. And he's come through it all, and now he's engineering this thing, and God knows what happened to his career. But here he is with us. And, of course, Schaefer now is telling me, because I was talking about where I grew up, we could get in a car on a Friday night and drive to just about any neighborhood in the area that I grew up in, out in Pasadena. And you just look for groups of cars on the street, and you say, that's a party. And you'd stop your car, you'd get out, and you go into a complete stranger's home and party with what was generally kids your own age. I don't know why it was. I don't know how it was that it must have been the culture of the late 60s, early 70s. But you could get in your car, pick up your friends, drive up and down streets till you saw a whole bunch of cars parked on the street, drive by and say, oh, yeah, there's a house because I can see lights, I see figures, and there's music. Stop the car, get out, and go in. And now you're with a group of people that maybe you know, maybe you don't. Maybe they're from an adjoining high school or a couple of high schools over or something. But you're partying with these people. Now, I'm not saying this is necessarily a good thing or a bad thing, but that was kind of the way it was done when we were kids. And I don't know now because I'm so completely... I got one son who is 13, going to be in high school next year. We'll get a real whiff of what's going on with him, man. I mean, all these guys do right now is sit around playing Nintendo. But I don't know how these guys party these days. Is it all kind of very set up and very clandestine and very, well, I'll meet you here at this time and the rest of your friends can go pound sand? I don't know, but we'd get out of the car and there it was. There was a party. And then you'd go in and you would, whatever adventure transpired. And you would meet girls and there was nothing going on. Sometimes there was a band and sometimes, most of the time there wasn't. They always had a stereo going. And I have to tell you, there was... something very fragrant in the air. It smells like I'm going over there. What is that? I went into a joint one day where they were all lined up down the hall sucking on nitrous oxide. This was a whole new thing, okay? Lined up, like around the block, man, like they were giving away windshield wipers or something. And so Schaefer's telling me, yeah, every time my parents went out of town, we had a party at our house. I was only 8, but we were having a party at our house. And there's his sister and his brother. Do your parents know about this crap? Oh, they do? Okay. So anyway, there was a lot of marijuana usage going on and cocaine. You're sure they know? Oh, you mean they don't? Anyway, there wasn't any marijuana smoking that I know of, but they pulled a really expensive mirror down from a wall. I think something they bought at the Louvre Memoir. You know, like those shops. They bought it at the Louvre Museum shop. They pulled this... they took this Louvre, you know, like this mirror, man, Louis the 14th or something, pulled it off the wall with a hammer, with the claw to the hammer, put it down on the floor, and they're starting to chop coke up on this thing. And then little Mikey Schaefer walks into his room so he can maybe crash, maybe look up at that poster of Farrah Fawcett, who knows what he's got going on, and they're smoking weed in this room. So when his parents come home, they're smelling dope on his little car coat. So he gets the crap whipped out of him. And nobody believes him when he says, but, you know, they had a party and people were smoking dope in my room. But that's how it went. Did you ever see that movie, One of the Guys? It was with Joyce Heiser. She played a guy. She was very beautiful, but she dressed up like a guy. Whatever happened to her? Anybody know what happened to Joyce Heiser? God, was she beautiful. She plays a guy in this movie. Anyway, moving on. Who was in that? Van Patten. Oh, really? Not so you'd notice? One of the kid Van Pattens. So this is what we would do. And these parties were insane. Now, I'm talking about out Pasadena, Monrovia, Duarte, where I grew up, Arcadia. You'd walk in there, and every kind of, and this was somebody's parents' house. You know, and we're talking about three-story. Your parents used to mark the liquor bottles when they went out of town. Did they really? Like it worked. Just put water in the ding-dang thing, put tea in there, whatever you had to do, right? Put a little water in there, like Ed Norton with a milk bottle. They'd put a mark on it. My old man used to smell my sister's breath when she walked through the door, and all kinds of stuff. So you go to these parties. The next thing I know, there's a friend of mine. I swear to God, one time I walked into this joint. Some guy walked directly into the house, went upstairs to a second-floor bedroom, picked up a sofa, and pushed it out the window as if to say, "We're here." So I'm standing there one day, and I'm talking to somebody. It's one night. It's one of these parties. It's a Friday night. It's the late 60s, early 70s. There's some kind of crap on the radio, like a rare. Somebody's got a Rare Earth album on, I remember. Something really bad like that. And I look up on the roof, and there's a friend of mine taking a leak off the roof. You remember Don, my best man? This guy's standing. You remember? It was Don. He's standing up on top of the roof, and he's taking a leak off of this guy's roof. So the guy who is giving the party looks up, reaches down for his garden hose, and turns it on him. So now there's Don leaking off the roof. This guy's got a garden hose turned on him, and he's nodding his head up and down as if to say, "Yeah, I deserve it." Now, as you know, in the middle of that, you ain't about, there's no muscle in the world that they've developed that can make a man stop midstream and come off of that roof. So he's just got to keep on going while a guy's turned a garden hose on top of him. And this is going on in someone's parents' house while they're out of town at a dog show, or they're out of town at the country club, or it's the whole Sal Mineo rebel without a cause. He ain't got nobody. He never had nobody. He's just a little boy, never had no one. I got the bullets! Remember that movie? And you'd show up at some of these things. There was an off-duty cop. I don't want to say which agency because I don't want to get anybody in trouble. There was an off-duty cop showed up at one of these things, started fights, just started picking on everybody, just throwing guys against trees. So it was a culture that was unbelievable. But there was something very warming about it. And you know what? If you had nothing to do on a Friday night, you could just pull up in front of somebody's house and walk in. I went to a party in Pasadena one night, 1971. I bet you the Pasadena police still remember this thing. I mean, there was 500 people pouring out in the street. They had a chopper overhead with a cop going, "This is an illegal assembly." Like, what are we doing here, man? I'm voting on something? But you want to know what? I met a girl there. A girl that I loved very, very much. We went on to have a significant relationship of about 3 weeks. And it was great. At that party. In Pasadena. I was on my hands and knees, I think, in a bush someplace. Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Спасибо, что вы выбрали компанию Phil Henry Air. Наш полет будет проходить на высоте 300 тысяч фит.
This is Russian.
Еще водка.
It's Russian.
Наш полет включает Porsche. Я еще хочу упомянуть Чернобыль.
Russian.
And now, here's Phil.
All right, let's go back to the bumper music now, okay? Oh, I get it. It's Halloween. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. That's how we ought to use bumper music. You just come on like this. Like, welcome to our show. 1-800-449-8686. Have you seen Three Kings, by the way? Anybody seen Three Kings? I got to see this movie, man. Did you hear this? George Clooney almost strangled the director on the set. He almost killed David O. Russell. Didn't almost kill him, but he says it was a big pressure day, and he was under the gun, meaning the director. We were trying to get a shot, and then he went berserk. He went nuts on an extra. So I went over, and I put my arm around him, and I pulled him aside, away from everybody, which seemed fair, and I said, "You can't do that." And he basically said, "F you, worry about your acting." And I said, "Now you're being an asshole." And we started pushing each other with our heads. So I got him by the throat, and I was yelling at him, and he was screaming at me, and we were at it. And Clooney now says he's embarrassed by the incident, and he says he's a big fan of Russell. He's a big fan of the director now. Have you ever had any kind of thing like that happen to you anywhere in your life in a professional setting? I can't imagine that, man. And then turn around and say, yeah, I really love the guy. You know, did you read about Roberto Alomar and John Hirschbeck? They're good friends now. When he spit on that umpire, now Alomar and here, they're pals. They're palling around, and Alomar's giving money to that foundation that Hirschbeck started for his kids. They're the best of buddies. Can a guy hate another guy, man, and have it last a few years, huh? Let's hear your thoughts on that. Thanks. Fort Lauderdale, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Phil.
Hi.
Hey, the parties.
Yeah.
I was brought up in Omaha, Nebraska. Same type of deal. You could drive around and just look for the, you know, all the parked cars on the curb in the front yard.
Going to open parties in Omaha?
Yeah. The only difference was the welcome mat wasn't out. You could get lost in the shuffle. They always had that ex-jock who never made it. He was still standing at the front door.
You mean they had bouncers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I never...
For the common name. You could say Steve or John or...
Yeah, I'm Steve.
You know, something like that. You go, hey, is Steve here? And okay, yeah, he's in the back. You
right, exactly.
Walk in, get lost in the shuffle. You know, you could take advantage of the libations for about a half an hour before they realize nobody knew you.
Mm-hmm.
And then get escorted out. But that was, you know, that was in the 80s. So it was
hey,
fun.
You guys got any beer? Yeah, in the refrigerator. Okay, great.
Yeah, you walk to the keg or you start hitting on their chicks. That was the big thing. That's how they knew right away.
Like, that you weren't one of them or you must have been one of them. Well, you know, I went to a University of Florida rush week once. They were rushing. You know what this thing, these fraternities? You ever heard of this? Because I never went to college. So somebody said to me, let's go up to Gainesville for the weekend. So we went up to Gainesville. And the fraternities at the University of Florida were, quote, rushing guys.
Yeah.
What is that?
Like recruiting for the
Oh, they're recruiting. Okay. So I went in. I didn't go to the school. I didn't even live in the freaking state. I mean, I was there for the summer. But I'm starting to suck. And I got guys, how you doing? Welcome to Phi Kappa Phi Kappa. It's going to be bitching. What's your name? I'm Phil. Oh, it's great, Phil. Well, it's the house and everything. We got broads. We got dope. It's going to be good. And I'd be drinking, and I'd be smoking, and I'd be living large for a week, man, going from one party to the next. And I didn't even get out of high school.
Yeah.
I didn't even have a high school diploma, and these guys are welcoming me with open arms.
Yeah,
it's enough to make a guy want to go to college.
And if you signed up and did go to college after that first week, the day after, you got the paddle.
The paddle?
What's that?
Then you were the...
What's the paddle?
You got the paddle on the ass.
You get your ass paddled?
Yeah.
Where? At a sorority or fraternity?
Well, if you were lucky, it was a sorority, but...
How come women don't...
Fraternities.
That's a fraternity thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
What is it with the women, the sororities? My wife was in a sorority. The women paddle each other's asses, too?
Well...
My wife was in a sorority, and she thought it was one of the greatest times of her life. She traveled for the sorority, in fact. And she thought it was fantastic. Never once did she ever tell me that somebody had to bend over and get a paddle in the ass to join a sorority. It was much more touchy-feely and much more friendly.
You know, that was one of the trials and tribulations of being a pledge.
A male pledge?
Yeah.
Okay, brother.
All right, man.
How's things in Fort Lauderdale? Bye. See, he didn't want to talk to me. He's just helping me out tonight.
Yeah, okay. I got to really. Please don't. I got to go.
1-800-449-8686. My wife was in a fraternity. Yeah, my wife was in a fraternity. That's right. And by the way, she was at a party last night, a Carsey Werner party. Dylan, this will interest you. She was at a party given by, it was a tribute to Carsey Werner. These are the guys that produced the Roseanne Show and a few other things. I couldn't go because I work for a living and, you know, I'm working at night. So she went over to this thing. It was a tribute to the two people that produced, you know, Roseanne and I think Third Rock from the Sun. And Maria's this butch blonde, my wife, she's like got chicks sitting on her lap. You know the morning show over there on Star? Jamie? Jamie's sitting in my wife's lap all night. Telling her how much she hates Danny Bonaducci. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. Although there was some of that. Not a lot. I mean, she's digging the show, but she said, oh, boy, I can't. I said, how's that Danny? Oh, God, they don't want me dissing him or anything. I said, they don't want you. Maria's asking, you can't diss Danny on the air? No, they don't want me doing that anymore because it makes him look bad, and he's the guy, and I'm the chick. How come chicks can't bag on a guy? And apparently she was bagging heavy on him, and it was pretty funny. And I guess it was too funny, so they don't want her doing it anymore. And then apparently the guy who does the afternoon show over there, Ryan Seacrest, he sat down with his Eurasian girlfriend, and Maria started engaging him by talking to him. The Eurasian girlfriend got so jealous that they got up and they moved to the other side of the table. And so there was somebody else who works, I think, the music department over there. And Maria's going, boy, and this is not my opinion, Danny, but my wife thinks you suck. Anyway, she said, boy, that Danny really sucks. And there's like two people from Star going, yeah, we get it already, will you? Shut up! So it almost came to fists at the Carsey Werner tribute last night there in Hollyweed. And Maria, as I say, was all butched up and with no place to go, and she's got chicks sitting in her lap. See, I don't get jealous. It doesn't matter. It's fine with me. She brings them home. It's great. I got a wife, man. She is like a jock. She looks fantastic in a nice, tight, short little black skirt. Then she's out there digging in the weeds with a big sickle and big hobnail boots. One minute she's lifting weights. The next minute she's all dolled up, ready to go. Comes home last night, you know, drove that Navigator all the way in from West L.A., and she's, hi, baby. And I said, let me just, as long as you're there, honey, I want to flambé this steak, so can I just light a match off that breath? No, you were fine, honey. Everything was just great. You know how I worry about you. I think there is a law against drinking and driving. I'm not sure. Maybe there isn't. It's okay. She calls me from the car phone, and it sounds something like this. I go, hello?
Hi, baby. It's my son.
You okay, honey?
Yeah.
And that's the last I heard from her. She said there was gridlock out there on Wilshire Boulevard, and I said, well, how's it going? And she's screaming into the phone, everything's fine! And then I come home, and I realize it's all a big, fat joke. She was next door. So anyway, 1-800-4498, I realize we don't have much of a topic here, and I don't really care, because we don't really do that, and I don't know how to break the news to you, but we're not running any topics here on this show, as far as I can tell, although we were talking about offing raccoons with a BB gun. That's my fave rave, and also killing those dogs as they're chasing the deers. Anybody got a good dog-killing story? And let's not forget those parties. Taking a leak off somebody's roof, that's always a big one. 1-800-449-8686. Those open parties that we used to go to, low those many years ago, driving up and down the street, looking for something to do. Finally, a bust into somebody's house. I went to a few where the parents were home. Did you ever go to somebody's house where the parents were smoking the dope with you? Now, that was really gone. And this chick's had her father is sitting in the living room listening to Mitch Miller's sing-along albums, smoking a joint. I come home one night with this grub dropping her off. She says, why don't you come in and meet my parents? Her dad's sitting there. He's in a big leather easy chair. He's blasting up on a reefer with, when the red, red robin goes bob, bob, bobbing along. And I mean, he had the most gorgeous stereo system. He had like surround sound. It would be like if you're sitting, you're kicking, you're listening to, I don't know what, Limp Bizkit, man. This guy is kicking, listening to Mitch Miller, when the red, red robin goes bob, bob, bobbing along. Blasting up on a big, fat joint, about 45, owns his own construction business, and it's 1971. Now, you may not remember Mitch Miller, but he used to have this show on called Sing Along with Mitch, and the ball would bounce along, and you're singing when the red, red robin goes ba-ba. Then he's putting on Boots Randolph records. You ever heard of this guy? Of course not. Boots Randolph played a saxophone, wore a straw hat and spats, and used to walk up and down the street with another's barbershop. It was a weird thing. It's way out there. You don't want to be on ketamine listening to this. So I walk in there, and he's got this Boots Randolph stuff going, some kind of cornball stuff. It didn't sound like White Zombie, I'll tell you that. He says to me, man, that Boots can blow, can't he, Phil? Yeah, he blows. Boots Randolph. So he's blasting that Boots Randolph. He's got some of that Mitch Miller. And then he's laying out some of that Montavani. All the while, he is zoned. He is just zoning in another world. His eyes are dilated. This guy couldn't walk a straight line, man, if you put a gun to his head. But he's kicking. It's a Saturday night. It's his house. And it was ultra illegal. I mean, it was like a 20-year rap then. You could go to prison for the rest of your life, man. And this guy's blasted up. He don't care. Needless to say, I dated his daughter for about 16 years. I really need some weed. Can I call your dad? Did you see American Beauty? It's about the same. Well, actually, no, the dad was calling the guy, but it's the same vibe. I really need a little weed. Can I call up your father? And it was good stuff, too. Not that I smoke that crap anymore. I don't. It's a dumb, dumb drug. It puts me to sleep. I ain't taking any of that acid anymore. I don't take none of that mescaline. I don't do none of that stuff, man. Caffeine is my drug of choice. And, yes, of course, the occasional cocktail. But what's the problem with that? A little sake, a little beer, a little sushi bar, a little boat ride? But I don't use any of that stuff no more. Last weed I smoked was at a Bob Dylan, Tom Petty, and the Heartbreakers concert down at Irvine Amphitheater. It was about 15 years ago. It was the worst crap that I ever heard. I never could believe that Bob Dylan could sound this bad, and even the weed didn't make it sound any better. I smoked as much weed as I possibly, because the sound system was horrific. The band sounded like crap. Dylan was, I don't know what was wrong with him that night. He was just, he didn't sound good, okay? So I was going around from people, has anybody got a joint to make this crap sound better? I smoked at least a half an ounce of dope that night, and it still didn't sound good. I'm swinging from a light post outside the Irvine Amphitheater, and it still wasn't sounding. It sounded like this. Bob Dylan, folks. Here's Crestline on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil.
How are you?
Hey, were you talking earlier about getting raccoons with BB guns?
Yeah, my kids want to off them with this laser-sighted BB gun.
Hey, it works.
A laser-sighted BB gun, not a pellet gun.
Oh, a BB gun.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, why don't you get a pellet gun?
Huh?
Why don't you get a pellet gun?
Yeah, well, what do you do with the dead raccoon?
Well,
just toss him down the hill there, huh? You hire a guy to go drag it out of there, right?
Yeah, hopefully.
Hey, there's a raccoon out here with a bullet in its head. I don't know how it happened, but could you guys come here and get it?
Please.
What about those guys who used to go cooning and make those hats out? Maybe I could make a few hats out of them.
That you could.
Like a jacket, like a throw rug, like a raccoon stole for the wife?
A purse.
You know those little stoles that the women wear where the fox is biting its own tail?
Yeah.
And you drape it over a woman's shoulder?
Yeah.
How about like that?
That would be cool.
Okay. Thanks for the idea.
Yeah.
You got a gun I can borrow? I'm just kidding. 1-800-449. Can I borrow your pellet gun tonight? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Show at 1-800-449-8686. I made one disparaging reference to rare earths, so naturally. And then they loop it so you never do hear the vocal. Let's hear the vocal at least. They got to loop that. Okay, Westwood, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hi. Westwood, it's not on the Phil Henry Show. You got that call up or not? Westwood, hi.
Hey, how are you, Phil?
How are you, sir?
I'm great. I just had a comment on your earlier comment about that show in Irvine.
Bob Dylan. You know,
it was the worst. I got to tell you, man.
But the reason why it was bad for you is you smoked weed. I was trying to make it better.
Well, I was trying to make it better because nothing could be worse.
Well,
that was the first time I ever smoked, and it was the last time. It was the same thing you had.
Had you ever seen Bob Dylan before?
I had never seen him. He was like a god.
Had you ever heard him? You'd heard him on record, yeah.
And I'll tell you what was interesting was, and this is what was really soul-destroying, and I don't know if you remember the night, but there were like two groups prior to that were really hot. And I thought, man, if this is like the warm-up band, Dylan's going to be so hot tonight, I can't wait.
No, who was it?
I don't even remember the name. It was like JFK and the Assassinators or something. I don't even remember what their name was. But they were a hot band. And then Tom Petty.
So, in other words, you just made that name up.
Yeah, I did.
That's great. Here's Portland on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'm
living in Portland now. I'm originally from Idaho.
Are you a gun owner?
Yes. This is about the raccoon story.
Great, great.
I'm from Idaho. We get to shoot pretty much what we want.
That's great.
I moved to, outside of Portland area.
Mm-hmm.
And we have raccoons out here crazy now. And I get a raccoon stirring around my house, so I pull out a 7mm and pop them.
You did what, sir?
Pulled out my 7mm and popped them.
Okay. That's
a big gun.
7mm.
Yes. And popped them.
Right.
Well, the Humane Society came out and the police came out and I was slapped with a $75 fine.
Discharging a firearm?
No. Inhumane treatment to a wild animal.
Oh, wow. What state was this in?
Oregon.
Do they have some of those touchy-feely laws where you can't? Yeah. Well, not that I'm against them necessarily, but I mean, Jesus, if you got a rabid, what if the thing was rabid?
Well, that's what I'm saying, and I'm saying this. So
wait a second. So you're changing the story that you told Mike Schaefer about, right?
Yeah.
You said you got fined $50.
No, I got fined whatever. I got fined, okay?
And you said you used a shotgun. And now you're telling me 7mm. You're a lying sack. Bug off, buggy. And we could tell, man, as soon as you got on the air with that whole, hi, what are you, man, in a wheelchair listening to one side? I mean, no offense, but geez, no guy with Lou Gehrig's disease should own a gun, okay? No cat with a straw in his mouth, man, typing his memoirs with a straw in his mouth, should be allowed to own a 7mm. And the way you said 7mm, it's the sound of the way I said 7mm. And I shouldn't be able to own a gun. And I got both legs, both arms. I think I'm going to be walking out of here tonight, although I could be wrong.
Yeah, I got a gun, I shot a raccoon and everything.
Great. America's gun owners.
Hi, Phil.
Let me ask you a question. Is there a law against a guy who has to write his memoirs with a straw in his mouth from owning a gun? I don't think there is. I think there is no law, and with all due respect, why would a guy like that want to own a shotgun? I don't know. But is there a law against people who are physically incapacitated? Some guy who's listening to one side in a chair, they kind of wheel him in front of the sun every day just to get the sun, just to sort of get the jaundice out of his cheeks. They wheel him into the sunlight. Here you go. Oh, thank you. And they move him, and he's just toying with a Glock there in his lap. He's toying with his Glock. Is there a law against that? I bet you there isn't. So any guy could wheel himself into a store, any gun shop, and say something like, I'd like the 9mm, because he's talking through a voice box or some kind of a computer with a straw coming out of his ear, or wherever, however those cats do it, and he can buy a gun. And I want you to know something. I think that's great. How come that cat was wigging on that whole 7? So what if it was a 7mm or a shotgun, and then he hangs up when I find out that it was a shotgun? You want to know why? Because he's notorious up there in Oregon. That guy's a serial killer. He was trying to cover his tracks. He wanted to let me know about all the raccoons. He's a serial raccoon killer. These living raccoons, Racky Raccoon, all them cats, man, they're dead. And he's been leaving bodies just by off the side of the freeway for months, and we finally got onto him, and he hung up. I hope those Oregon cops are listening. Trace that call. That guy's playing with his Glock in his wheelchair near the window, staring out, looking at the kids and the monkey bars or something. I don't know what's going on up there. Now I'm finding out that they can have a gun. Anybody with, like, Lou Gehrig's disease or anything like that, you can have a gun, but the drool ends up rusting the thing, so they can't use it. Okay, thanks very much for that, Mike Crozier. No wonder you were sleeping on a bus bench. Oh, man. Can a one-armed guy walk in and buy a gun? Could Rick Allen from Def Leppard go in and buy a shotgun? I want to know. Buy two shotguns. I bet you Rick Allen's got like a whole case full of guns. You know, wait a second, I'll get him. He's loading shells falling all over the floor while he's trying to load it, you know. God damn it, you've got one arm, man. Have somebody else load it. No, I can do it. There's somebody at the back door, for crying out loud. He shoots with his toe or something. Lost Hills, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, sir, how are you?
Good, you?
Good.
I was wanting to comment on a pistol that your father left you that had FAG on it.
Yes, sir.
That's a very large manufacturing corporation in Germany. They also have companies over here that make real precise bearings and whatever. Be kind of like the Rockwell Corporation here in America.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Did they make firearms?
Well, during World War II, they may have switched to make firearms, you know, like a lot of manufacturing companies switched to making Jeeps and aircraft, things like that here in the United States.
I would think that's a collector's item, a pistol with fag on the butt, if you'll pardon the expression. But, I mean, that's what it has, right on the butt of the gun. It says fag.
Now, on Interstate 44 in Joplin, Missouri, there's the...
There's a fag?
It says fag bearings, and I'm not sure what that the German names are, but that's that FAG stands for three German names.
Well, thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, sir. So on Interstate what in Joplin, there's a fag there at the side of the... I'm joking around. But the gun said that, and so I have to report these things. You're a journalist. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686.